How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. What a prayer that is. You can almost feel the emotions that David is sharing with God. The pleading that God will hear his prayer, the request for help, and then the praise for when he knows his prayer will be answered. King David is a great man of prayer. Psalm 119 reveals that David praised God 7 times a day. The book of Psalms records many of David's prayers and songs to God and gives us a window into how David structured his prayers and developed this proficiency. Reading the Psalms shows us the connection and relationship David had with God. Do we ever wish we could pray like David did? Do we find our own prayers to be lacking when held up next to some of the Psalms? Well, in my time today, I would like to examine that prayer I opened with, which is found in Psalm 13, and discuss some elements of it that we can use to improve how we pray by following in David's example. So if you'd all turn to Psalm 13, we'll begin by breaking this down in verses 1 through 2. Again, that's Psalm 13. And we'll cover verses 1 through 2. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? This may seem like a brasher or maybe almost even a rude or disrespectful thing to say to God, because David's implying that God doesn't care about him. He's saying that God is hiding his face from him. However, this is not an insult or a challenge to God. Instead, it's simply a show of raw emotion. This is a display of one of the deepest struggles a human can have. The feeling that God has abandoned them. David's being painfully honest with his emotions and bearing his soul to God. This is an important part of prayer, to let God into our emotions. God wants to hear our deepest and darkest secrets, even if we feel guilty or are embarrassed by what we are thinking or feeling. It is better to be upfront with God about it and honestly confess and repent. Keep your place in Psalm 13. Let's turn briefly to Luke 12, verse 2. And that's Luke 12, verse 2. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. So if there's nothing we can hide from God, there's no reason to hide our emotions from God when we pray. God knows all of our thoughts, but he still wants us to tell him what they are so he can help us work through them. God is a loving father, and he wants to see us succeed and grow on our spiritual journey. God knows that the first step to solving a problem is admitting that there is a problem. So being honest with your emotions is an important part. We need to treat God as the merciful father he is, and have faith that he will not reject us because of our shortcomings, revealing not just our immediate problems, but also our deepest and darkest emotions to God is a critical element in improving our prayers. So let's continue in Psalm 13. This time we'll cover verses 3 through 4, and we'll read how David makes a request to God. Again, back in Psalm 13, verses 3 through 4. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say I have prevailed against him, lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved. David is asking God to give him wisdom and awareness to carry him through some sort of conflict. He asks God specifically to enlighten his eyes, to prevent him from falling victim to an enemy. It has been speculated by some scholars that this psalm was written during a time when Absalom was rebelling against David. This may have been a time of great danger, where David needed to stay alert, be able to make good decisions very quickly in order to keep himself and his people alive. Whatever the situation was, David clearly addresses an enemy he's in some sort of conflict with, and his life appears to be in danger. While David is praying for help, he is asking specifically for this enlightenment of eyes to get through the situation. Being specific about our requests and what we ask God is an important thing to apply into our prayers. When I was growing up, I would ask these types of questions to my parents: how to pray, what to pray about. And they used to tell me a story about a friend they had who prayed and prayed and prayed for a house with a dishwasher. And finally, after a long period of looking and praying, they got a house with a dishwasher. They thanked God for this blessing and answered prayer. However, it didn't take them very long to find out that they really should have been praying for a house with a working dishwasher. It's a bit of a silly story, and I don't know how true it is, but it's a good reminder that for God to grant our wishes, we need to ask for those wishes. To reinforce this, again, keep your place, and let's turn to Matthew 7, and we'll read verses 7 through 8. And this is Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. We ask, and it will be given to us, but we need to ask for specifically what we want. Now let's go back to Psalm 13, and this time we'll read verses 5 through 6. We'll cover the last part of this prayer. Again, back in Psalm 13, verses 5 through 6. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. This last section of David's prayer is a statement of faith. David is telling God that he has faith that God will give him the outcome he desires. Having the faith that God will fulfill our request is a critical element of prayer. James also discusses this concept. So if you'd all turn to James chapter 1, we'll read verses 5 through 7. Again, James 1, verses 5 through 7. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not the man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. God will give liberally and without reproach, but the requirement that this scripture lays out is that we ask in faith. In that last section of Psalm 13, David reiterates his faith in God with his closing statement. This is a good way to grow our faith by repeating to ourselves whenever we pray that we know and believe God will grant us our wishes. David is showing faith and thanking God for the answer he knows he will receive. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. To conclude this point, I have an action item for all of you. You may already do this, which is fantastic, but if you don't, the next time you make a request to God, afterwards, make a statement of faith. It's a good habit to get into, to grow your faith with repetition. David was a warrior. He was a king. He was a servant of God. He was a great administrator. But his prayers and songs to God continue to this day to have a significant cultural impact around the world. Psalms and prayers of David have become songs, movies, commonly used quotes. Many of our hymns and our hymnal are Psalms of David. As one of the great men of prayer in the Bible, it is important to look at David when working on prayer. By following his example, we can improve our prayer life by being honest and upfront with our emotions, being specific about what we request, and reiterating our faith and belief that God will grant those requests.